Welcome to Simply Scottish. I'm your host, Andrew McDermott. Today, selections from our radio archive. You'll hear Andrew McDermott Sr., my father, teach us about the Scottish Merchant Navy, and he'll share some of his close encounters with one of Scotland's most famous sons, Sean Connery. And I'll bring to you some interesting tidbits about Robert Watson Watt and his development of radar technology in the early 20th century. You'll also get to enjoy some lovely Scottish music, old and new, like this tune, a new one from Tom Spirals and Ewan McLaughlin, pairing together traditional Gaelic sounds with futuristic dub music. Let's listen to some more together, shall we? Before it was a podcast, Simply Scottish was a radio show that aired live every week from our base in South Texas. The program eventually aired on several stations in the US and Canada between 1999 and 2001. This episode features parts of radio episode 129, which originally aired in February of 2001. First, I want to do my regular shout-out to listeners who have reached out to me recently. I heard again from Joan in North Queensland, Australia. Until recently, she was airing a program of Celtic and Scottish music on her local radio station there, and for a good while she included episodes of Simply Scottish in her lineup. I was fair chuffed, as the Scots say, to hear that, given my family's involvement with Australia over the years. Joan, thanks again, and my best wishes to you. I also heard from Lena, who's listening from Windsor, Ontario, in Canada. She was curious about the music I used to open each episode of Simply Scottish. The radio show, as well as some early episodes of the podcast, featured a main theme from the movie The Ghost in the Darkness. It's a great mix of African and Celtic influences and was very catchy. Lena says, "I have yet to visit Scotland, so this is a bit of a virtual way to do so until it's safe to travel again." And that's actually a good point, Lena. Less people have been travelling to Scotland during the pandemic, but more people have been listening to podcasts during that time. So I'm betting there are others out there like Lena who are visiting Scotland virtually through Simply Scottish until they can do the real thing. It's a great idea, and I'm glad to provide you the chance. Perhaps you're also reading Scottish books or watching TV shows set in Scotland, like the well-known Shetland TV show. My wife and I watch that, and it's quite good. So now it's your turn. Get in touch and tell me how you're connected with Scotland and where you're listening to the show. You can email me at andrew@simplyscottish.com. That's andrew@simplyscottish.com. So, it's been almost a year since I lost my father, Andrew McDermott Sr. He founded Simply Scottish with me back in 1999, and was my co-host for all 3 years of the radio show and a few of the podcasts. He was an amazing man. It's still on my to-do list to create a special episode of Simply Scottish dedicated to him very soon. For now, it's only right that we hear from my dad today. First, my dad and I banter back and forth about his close encounters with Sean Connery, one of Edinburgh's famous sons. The great Scottish actor died just a few months before my dad did, on October 31st of 2020. He'll be sorely missed, as will my dad. Here's my dad and I with a back and forth about Sean Connery. Now, Dad, Sean Connery is a great fan of yours, and your history with he and his family is quite... what would we say, unique, isn't that correct?
Yeah, well, sir to you, if you don't mind.
Yes, Sir Sean Connery.
Yes, knighted by Her Majesty the Queen in Edinburgh, in Scotland, and one of the very few, if not the only one, to be knighted by Her Majesty the Queen in Scotland. So, Sir Sean Connery, this is your knight.
Now, as far as your contact with his family, I mean... You've never actually met Sean Connery, have you?
I came within about 1 or 2 minutes of meeting him in a fish and chip shop in Edinburgh, where he wasn't very far from where he lived, and he popped in for some fish and chips with some friends, and I went in 2 minutes after he left, and the lady who was serving was swooning all over the place, and... I asked her what was wrong, and she said, "You'll have a guess who just came in, Sean Connery." And at that time, he was getting to be quite famous with the Dr. No films from Russia with Love, the James Bond films.
Mm-hmm. But isn't it also true that you worked in the same bar or establishment for quite some time?
Well, I think I may have worked in quite a few establishments that...
That he had worked
but
in?
But I used to frequent a little pub, which was a great drinking place for his mum and dad. His mum and dad and all the family used to gather there in a little old Irish man and his husband or wife who ran the bar. This was one of the locals where... Sean's mum and dad used to visit.
And as a youngster, you knew where his mum and dad lived and actually went into their flat at times, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Once Sean's fame got wider, everybody wanted to be associated with Sean. And, of course, my background was very, very similar to Sean's in everything he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I did go up to the house where he was... born, probably, and I just stood there and I looked and said, well, this is where the famous Sean Connery, James Bond, lived.
You spoke to his mother, right?
Yeah, well, she came out and she wondered why I was standing there, and I said, well, I just heard that Sean Connery lived here, and she says, yes, my son, and I went away happily knowing that I had talked to his mother.
Sean Connery is by far Scotland's most popular actor, and for years he has filled movie screens with such irresistible roles as James Bond and father to Indiana Jones. In fact, at a recent press conference promoting his new film Finding Forrester, Connery admitted that the film he had enjoyed making the most was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. He said he loved working with Steven Spielberg and Harrison Ford, and that he didn't mind still being associated with his other famous character, James Bond, even though it's been 17 years since he last played the role.
Our trivia question this week involves Sean. What was the name of the first Bond movie to feature Sean Connery as Secret Agent 007?
That was our trivia question of the week on this particular radio episode that we're listening to today. It's an easy one, really, but you can still send me an email if you know it. And if you don't use the internet to get the answer, all the better. You can reach me at andrew@simplyscottish.com. Up next, my dad talks about the Scottish Merchant Navy, part of a British merchant navy that, as of a year before my dad's birth, 1939, was the largest merchant fleet in the world, with 33% of the total tonnage. The country depended on the merchant fleet in times of peace as well as times of war. During World War II, many merchant marines risked their lives to transport war supplies between the Allies. Over 30,000 merchant seamen lost their lives during World War II, a death rate that was higher proportionally than in any of the armed forces. After my dad discusses the Scottish Merchant Navy, I'll tell you about Robert Watson Watt, the Scottish inventor of radar technology. Radar proved to be a big influence on how battles were won and lost during World War II. Before we get to those things, though, here's something new from Iona Fife, a Scots translation of the Richard Thompson song. This is Poor Ditching Boy. Listening to Simply Scottish. Here again from Radio Archive episode 129 is my father Andrew Sr. discussing the Scottish Merchant Navy.
Hi, this is Simply Scottish here, and you're listening to Andrew McDermott Jr. The Merchant Navy is a navy that has lived in the background of the Royal Navy for many, many years. Although both of them were almost started off, and I'm sure that the Merchant Navy started off before the Royal Navy. Being a merchant fleet, my son this morning was asking me, "What's the Merchant Navy, Dad?" I said, "Well, son," I says, "all the merchants from Scotland or wherever would put all their stuff into the ship and sail it off to the sunshine and deliver it to France and Spain and go to Africa, wherever, India, and all over." And most of these people were great ship's captains who, instead of just sailing the ship, would be explorers on the side, if you want to put it that way. They would sail off into the sunset, into some of the uncharted waters, which we all know too well are pretty ferocious in various areas. The trade winds and the Caribbean and the Atlantic, the Pacific. It didn't matter where you went, along the Straits of Gibraltar, the English Channel. There were some fierce seas out there, and those merchant navy men roughed the seas to go out there and deliver their produce. Of course, being in the merchant navy, most of these sailors would have been in the Royal Navy to begin with. They get taught their craft, whatever it was, and learn how to be a good sailor. They would stay at sea for a few years, and once they learned their trade, then off they would go to have a little cushier time by joining the Merchant Navy and sailing into calmer waters, no battles with Napoleon Bonaparte or being involved with any skirmishes with the Spaniards, which was quite frequent in those days. So these guys would love to sail off to far-off places like Java and the West Indies, in the Caribbean, and all those fancy places like Hawaii. And, of course, we can only dream about some of those escapades that these sailors would get up to. And we have saw in films and read many books about the high seas. And, of course, the Americans also came into the merchant navy business, and they had to do business with a lot of countries that were not quite civilized around these times. And that's where all the headhunters came in Borneo and far-off places like that, where men could be on the menu, and it was kind of hard times for merchant navy men. But suffice to say that they were part of a unique bunch of sailors who sailed the high seas and were quite literally explorers who explored the lands which they were sailing to, some that had never been charted. And of course, suffice to say that Christopher Columbus was in the same sort of business. And what did he do? I think we should know that.
Almost anyone who is familiar with Scotland knows that her people have contributed an amount to the world far greater than it should have in proportion to its size. We have illustrated this time and time again on our program, where we've put in the spotlight countless different Scottish authors, inventors, mathematicians, explorers, and others. This week we continue that illustration with Robert Alexander Watson Watt, inventor of radar. Robert Alexander Watson Watt was born in Brechin, Angus, in 1892. He was educated in Brechin and then attended college at Dundee and the University of St. Andrews. He graduated with a BSc in Engineering in 1912. Watson Watt's first line of research was in meteorology, where he used shortwave radio to detect the location of thunderstorms. By combining this direction-finding technique with the ranging capabilities of things called ion sondes, he designed a system that was capable of detecting aeroplanes. He called this system Radio Detection and Ranging, and gave it the acronym RADAR for short. Now, did this new technology get put into practice successfully? Well, it did. To a great success, actually. We'll have more on Watson Watt's invention of radar after this music.
It was a far ride for King. We left fair Scotland strand. It was a far ride for King that we e'er saw Irish land, my dear. We e'er saw Irish land. Now all is done that men can do, and all is done in vain. My love, my native land, farewell, for I mun cross the main, my dear, for I mun cross the main. He turned him right and round about upon the Irish shore, and gave his bridle reins a shake with a dew forevermore, my dear, a dew forevermore.
It was All for Our Rightful King, a song performed there by Dougie MacLean. Now, our spotlight is focused right now on Robert Alexander Watson Watt, who invented the technology for radar. By the autumn of 1938, radar systems implementing his technology were in place alongside the south coast of Scotland and England, and by the Battle of Britain in 1940, were able to detect enemy aircraft at any time of day and in any weather conditions. This system, known as Chain Home and Chain Home Low, provided the vital advance information that helped the Royal Air Force to win the Battle of Britain. Watson Watt became scientific advisor to the Air Ministry in 1940, and in 1941 went to the United States to set up radar systems there. He was elected a fellow to the Royal Society in 1941 and knighted in 1942 for his role in the development of radar. He died at Inverness in Scotland on the 5th of December 1973, having done an incredible amount in the field of radar and radar communication throughout his life. With thanks in part to information from the Rutherford Appleton Laboratory, that's a look at Scottish inventor Robert Watson Watt, responsible for creation of radar. Well, we're going to get rowdy again as we hear Andy Stewart talking about his kilt.
Well, no, I'll have to wear the kilt because it's right to for me. I'll have to wear the kilt because it's right to see the bonny tartan plaidy swinging up above my knee. I'll have to wear the kilt because it's right to for me. A lot of folks will tell you that it's just the way I'm built. When it comes to fads and fashions, I'm a Scotsman to the hilt. But the lassies all look neater, aye, the lassies all look sweeter, and life is much completer when I wear my kilt. I'll have to wear the kilt because it's right for me. I'll have to wear the kilt because it's right to see the bonny captain lady swinging up above my knee. I'll have to wear the kilt because it's right for me. Now when I am far abroad, you'd never lose me in the crowd. No, we are stand up head and shoulders, oh so proud. And the folk all think together, he is from the land of heather. So I gather up my voice and then I sing out loud. Oh, I'll have to wear the kilt, cause it's right to for me. I'll have to wear the kilt because it's right to see the bonny tartan lady swinging up above my knee. I'll have to wear the kilt because it's right to for me. Well, though I used to court a winsome lass, but I couldn't score at all. I wooed her in a lovely suit, but oh, she wouldn't fall. So one day I donned the tartan, and I told her we were parting. But her heart was broken too, and she began to bawl. Oh, I love you in the kilt, because it's right for you. My lad, you've no idea what it does for you. I love you, tartan blighty, and I promise to be true. I love you in the kilt, because it's right for you. But laddie, and he's only 2 year old. And the first day he was walking, what a wonder to behold. He did not look so happy as he toddled in his nappy. So he turned to his mommy and he began to scold. I'll have to wear the kilt because it's right for me. I'll have to wear the kilt because it's right to see the bonny tartan plaidy swinging up above my knee. I'll have to wear the kilt because it's right for me. I'll have to wear the kilt because it's right for me.
Andy Stewart loves his kilt, and I love the kilt as well. Dad, I don't even think... Well, I know for a fact we don't have a kilt between us, but I know that we have the bottom of one kilt, right?
Yes, we brought over a kilt from Scotland, hoping that we could wear it. But the good food, the Mexican food down here, tends to make your girth a little bit larger.
Down here being South Texas, right?
Yeah, I'd love to own a kilt, but unfortunately they're very, very expensive.
Yes, they are.
Probably $1,000 or so.
You know, I wonder if Rod Stewart has a kilt.
I've no doubt he has.
Well, this is Rod Stewart right now singing an Elton John favourite. It's called Your Song.
And those were the highlights of Radio Episode 129 of Simply Scottish, originally broadcast in South Texas in February of 2001. That's 20 years ago. Time flies when you're having fun. Well, that's it for this episode. I hope you've enjoyed this selection of features and music. Please subscribe to the podcast anywhere podcasts are found, and also leave us a 5-star review and a rating so that others can easily find the show. You can also hop on to simplyscottish.com for episode notes and more. Don't forget to send me a note at andrew@simplyscottish.com. Tell me where you're listening to the show, your connection to Scotland, if you're interested in going there once the whole pandemic thing calms down, I really love to hear from listeners. We'll close with music from Karen Marshalsey. Karen is one of only a few harpers who play all three Scottish harps: the modern lever clarsach, the wire-strung harp from the Gaelic tradition, and the bray harp. The tune is called The Journeying Jig. Let's connect again soon for your next virtual trip to Scotland. Until then, I'm Andrew McDermott. Thanks for listening.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content, copyright, Simply Scottish Media. All music is used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience at simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening. Thank you.